reading from chapter 1 and maybe chapter 4. I'm going to skip a few chapters of The Girl with the Loudoun Voice. I was brought up in Lagos, Nigeria, which is in West Africa, which is the largest country in Africa, and is one of the richest countries in Africa, but sadly, less than, I think, most of the people there live less than $1 a day, so it's quite an unfortunate situation. I wrote The Girl with the Loudoun Voice because I grew up with housemates, so we had little girls that were working with our family, and it was quite common in Nigeria. And so moving over to the UK and having my own daughters, I began to think about these girls and wondering about their lives. I started this novel on the MA and completed it just after I finished. I'm reading chapter 1, and I'll be trying to read in Adeni's voice, who is the main character. This morning, Papa called me inside the parlor. He was sitting inside the sofa with no cushion and looking me. Papa had this way of looking me one kind, as if he wants to be flogging me for no reason, as if I'm carrying shit inside my cheeks. And when I open my mouth to talk, the whole place be smelling of it. "Sir," I say, kneeling down and putting my hand in my back. "You call me?" "Come close," Papa say. I know he wants to tell me something bad. I can see it inside his eyes. His eyes balls have the dull of a brown stone that be sitting inside the hot sun for too long. He had the same eyes when he was telling me 3 years ago that I must stop my educations. That time, I was the most old of all in my class, and all the children was always calling me auntie. I tell you true, the day I stopped school and the day my mama was dead is the worst day of my life. When Papa asked me to come closer, I am not answering him because our parlor is the small of a Mazda car. Did he want me to move closer and be kneeling inside his mouth? So I kneel in the same place and wait for him to be talking his mind. Papa make a noise with his throat and lean on the wood back of the sofa with no cushion. The cushion have spoiled because our last born, Chaos, he have done too many piss inside it. Since the boy was a baby, he be pissing as if it is a curse. So the piece messed the cushion, so Mama made Chaos to be sleeping on it for pillow. We have a TV in the parlor. It didn't work. Born boy, our firstborn, he find the TV inside the dustbin 2 years back when he was working a job as a dustbin collector officer in the next village. We're only putting it there for fashion. It is looking good, sitting like a handsome prince inside our parlor, in the corner beside the front door. We're even putting a small flower vase on top of it, be like a crown on the prince's head. When we have a visitor, Papa will be doing as if it is working and be saying, "Adeni, come, put evening news for Mr. Bada to watch." And me, I'll be responding, "Papa, the remote controlling is missing." Then Papa will shake his head and say to Mr. Bada, "Those useless children, they have lost the remote control again. Come, let us sit outside, drink, and forget the sorrows of our country, Nigeria." Mr. Bada must be a big fool if he didn't know that it is a lie. We have one standing fan too. Two of the fan blade have missed, so it is always blowing hot air, which is making the whole parlor too hot. Papa likes to be sitting in front of the fan in the evening, crossing his feet at his ankles and drinking from the bottle that have become his wife since Mama have dead. "Adeni, your Mama have dead," Papa say after a moment. I can smell the drink on his body as he's talking. Even when Papa didn't drink, his sweat and skin still smell. "Yes, Papa, I know," I say. "Why is he telling me something I have already know? Something that have caused a hole inside my heart and fill it with a block of pain that I'm dragging with me to everywhere? How can I ever be forgetting how my mama was coughing blood, red and thick with spit bubbles, inside my hand every day for 3 months? When I'm closing my eyes to sleep at night, I still see the blood. Sometimes I taste the salt of it. I know, Papa," I say again. "Have another something bad happened?" Papa sigh. "They have told us to be going." "To be going to where?" "Sometimes I have worry for Papa. Since Mama have dead, he keeps saying things that didn't make sense. And sometimes he talk to himself, cry to himself too when he think nobody is hearing." "You want me to fetch water for your morning bath?" I ask. "There's morning food too, fresh bread with sweet groundnuts." "Community rent is 30,000 naira, Papa say. If we cannot pay the money, we must find another place to live." 30,000 naira is very plenty money. I know Papa cannot be finding that money even if he's searching the whole of the Nigeria. Because even my school fees money of 7,000, Papa didn't have it. It was Mama who was paying for school fees and rent money and feeding money and everything money before she was dead. "Where will we find that kind of money?" I ask. "Morufu," Papa say. "You know him? He came here yesterday to see me. Morufu, the taxi driver. Morufu is the old man taxi driver in our village with the face of a he-goat. Apart from his two other wives, Morufu is having four children that didn't go to school. They just be running around the whole village in their dirty pants, pulling sugar cartons with strings, playing sway and clapping their hands until the skin about to peel off. Why was Morufu visiting our house? What was he finding? Yes, Papa said with a tight smile. He's a good man, that Morufu. He surprised me yesterday when he said he'll pay community rent for us, all the 30,000. That is good. I asked the question because it didn't make sense. Because I know that no man will be paying for another somebody's rent unless he's wanting something. Why will Morufu pay our community rent? What was he wanting? Or is he owing Papa money from before in the past? I look my Papa, my eyes filling with hope that it is not the thing I'm thinking. Papa? Papa waits. Yes, he say, swallowing spit and wiping his front forehead sweat. The rent money is among your bride price. My bride price? My heart is starting to break because I'm only 14 years going 15 and I'm not marrying any foolish, stupid old man because I'm wanting to go back to school and learn teacher work and become an adult woman and be having monies to be driving cars and living in fine houses with cushion sofa and be helping my papa and my two brothers. I don't want to marry any men or any boys or any another person forever. So I asked Papa again, talking real slow, so he'll be catching every word I'm saying and not mistaking me in his answer. Papa, is this bride price for me or for another person? And my Papa, he nodded his head slowly, slow, not minding the tears standing in my eyes or the opening wide of my mouth, as he's saying, the bride price is for you, Aduni. You'll be marrying Morufu next week. Chapter 4. 2 years before my mama was dead, one car drive inside our compound and bring itself to a stop in front of our mango tree. I was sitting under the tree washing my papa's singlet when the car stopped. And when the car stopped, I stopped my washing, shake the soap from my hand and keep looking the car. It's a rich man owned this car, black and shining with big tires and front lights like the eyes of a sleeping fish. The car door opened and one man climbed out, bringing along the smell of aircon and cigar and perfumes. Tall like anything I ever see. His skin was the brown of a roasted groundnut, and his fine face and long jaw make me think of a handsome horse. He was wearing costly trouser cloth of green lace and a green cap on his slim head. Good morning, I'm looking for Ido, he said, talking fast, voice smooth. Is she around? I roof my eyes from the morning sun. Good morning, sir, I say. Ido is the name of my mother. She didn't ever used to have visitors, except of the five women from the church community or praying wife every third Sunday in the month. You are who? I ask. Is she around? I ask again. My name is Ade. She have go out, I say. You want to sit down and wait? Oh, I'm sorry, I can't, he say. I only came to Ikati village to see my grandmother's burial site. She passed away while I was abroad. I thought to say hello to your mother on my way back to the airport. I fly back tonight. Fly? Like aeroplane? To the abroad? I've been hearing of this, the abroad. Of the America and the London. I'm even seeing it inside the TV. The women's and the men's with their yellow skin and pencil nose and hair like rope. But I've never seen anybody from there before with my two naked eyes. I've been hearing them in the radio sometimes too. Talking fast. Speaking English as if they're using it as a special power for confusing everybody. I look this tall, fine man at his skin, which is the brown of a roasted nut. And his short black hair like a foam sponge. He's not resembling the people in the abroad TV. Where are you from? I ask him again. The UK, he says, smiling soft, showing white teeth in a straight line. London. Then why don't you look yellow like them? I ask. He strung his face, then laughed. Ha ha. You must be Dowu's daughter, he says. What is your name? Aduni is the name, sir. You are just as pretty as she was at your age. Thank you, sir, I say. My mama has traveled far to greet Iya, our old friend that is living in the next village. Till tomorrow before she's coming back. I can keep your message. Now that's a shame, he say. Can you tell her Ade came back to look for her? Tell her I didn't ever forget her. After he climbed inside his car and was going, I keep thinking, who is this man and how he knows my mama? When my mama returned and I tell her Mr. Ade from the abroad of the UK came to see her, she shocked. Mr. Ade, she keep asking as if she deaf. Mr. Ade? Then she was starting to cry soft because she didn't want my papa to hear. It take me another 3 weeks to be asking her why she shock and cry. She tell me that Mr. Ade is from a rich family, that many years back he was living in Lagos, but he come to our village to be staying with his grandmother for holidays. One day, when Mama was selling puff, Mr. Ali Bison. Then he just falls inside love with her. Big fall. She says he's her first man friend. The only man she ever loved. Then the two, both of them, were supposed to marry themselves. But my mama didn't go to school. So Mr. Addy's family say no marriage. When Mr. Addy say he'll kill himself if he didn't marry my mama, his family lock him inside the aeroplane and send him to the abroad. After mama cry and cry, her family forced her to marry my papa, a man she didn't ever love. That day, my mama say, Aduni, because I didn't go to school, I didn't marry my love. I was wanting to go outside this village, to count plenty money, to be reading many books, but all of that didn't possible. Then she hold my hands. Aduni, God knows, I'll use my last sweat to be sending you to school because I'm wanting you to have a chance at life. I'm wanting you to speak good English because in Nigeria, everybody's understanding English. And the more better you're speaking English, the more better for you to be getting a good job. She cough a little, shift herself on the floor, keep talking. In this village, if you go to school, no one will force you to marry any man. But if you don't go to school, they will marry you to any man once you're reaching 15 years old. Your schooling is your voice, child. It will be speaking for you even if you didn't open your mouth to talk. It will be speaking till the day God is calling you come. That day, I tell myself, and even if I'm not getting anything in this life, I will go to school. I will finish my primary and secondary and university schooling and become a teacher because I don't just want to be having any kind voice. I want a louding voice.
Yeah.